This is the Music Mentor Podcast. What is up, my friends? This is Demian, your host of the Music Mentor Podcast, and welcome to episode number 189. This week's episode is about disrupting the status quo, disrupting a scene, or basically disrupting ourselves and jolting and doing something that's a little bit different that we are accustomed to and daring to do that for numerous reasons. But before I get started, as always, I want to give a shout out to the wonderful companies that I endorse: Zildjian Cymbals, LP Percussion, Vader Drumsticks, Evans Drumheads, Gibraltar Hardware, Simpad Accessories, Nirvana Handpans, Yuka Tape, Calibrand U-Bass, and last but not least, Ultimate Ears in-ear monitors. And as always, if you're looking to upgrade your in-ear game, if you're looking for your very first pair of molds maybe, or you want to get a Bluetooth speaker, the best in the game are Ultimate Ears. And if you email my friend Joe Lester, who works for Ultimate Ears, and you hit him up at ultimateaudiojoe@gmail.com and you send him the code DA2020, you will receive a 20% discount across the board. So check them out. So the reason why I chose this is a little bit self-centered, and it has to do due to the fact that I am releasing a new song this Friday, September 27th. It'll be the second song I ever release, and it's one of the most wonderful, exhilarating, terrifying, anxiety-filled moments, because, you know, it's exposing your art, it's exposing yourself, your soul, your musicality, your tastes in music, and so on and so forth. And it's something that I'm not accustomed to, but I'm very much interested in the whole dynamic. And one of the reasons why I'm doing it is because I would like to prove to my students, or you, or anybody that I meet, is that it is possible, and nobody's going to do it for us, so we need to do it and release content like you've heard me say before. However, I wanted to speak about not just any content, but content that has a purpose, content that has the purpose, I should say, of being a disruptor. It has the objective of being different in the scene, to offering something different to the listeners, and trying to be honest all the while, which is key, I think, because that's what ultimately allows people to connect with your music. But why am I doing what I'm doing? So the song itself, as all my original music, is based around the instrument of the handpan, which you heard me speak about before. And the whole culture of handpan and the whole world having to do with that, or the micro sort of subculture that has to do with that instrument, is very much something that I don't necessarily feel that I belong in. There's a lot of meditation and yoga and things that I love and I admire and respect, but this is a different world. We're talking about much more of a hippie, to bastardize the term or to break it down in a form that you might understand right off the bat. So there's a lot of creeks and a lot of mountains and incense and peace and, you know, and I'm not trying to downplay by any stretch of the imagination the culture, which is beautiful and I love it. But because I didn't belong there, and because my instrumental influences, even within handpan, are guys that are not doing stuff that is that common, such as Adrian Portilla and David Kuckerman, they're doing stuff that is different that I really, really love. And it has inspired me to try to do something more towards what they were doing instead of what everybody else was doing. And in that vein, I started trying to be true to myself and trying to be the songwriter that I am and that I never knew that I was, and the producer that I never knew that I was. But again, nobody's going to do it for us. So a year ago to the day, today, I witnessed a very heavy, disturbing, I should say, very moving hearing in the politics world a gentleman by the name of Brett Kavanaugh had a hearing for his confirmation for the Supreme Court, and he was filled with anger and filled with this very negative attitude that made me, on top of these accusations of him being an abuser, shifted my day to the point where I felt disgusted and I didn't want to be in my house anymore. And I walked out of the room and I took my hand pan almost like to cleanse my soul and my life and my hearing and my everything. And I decided to film whatever was coming out just in case. And I came up with this melody and I started developing it, especially a week later, which this will make sense. And there's a reason why I chose the 27th to release this record. But I started trying to do what my soul told me, what the music asked me to do, as esoterical as that sounds. And I never really been in that frame of thought that wasn't related to drumming. So it was really interesting to feel harmony come into play and melody come into play and all these other things. So I started recording. I recorded the lead, and then I started doing a lot of production around it in a time where I wasn't sure I was capable of it, and also at a time where I felt that I wanted to do it on my own and that I needed to almost prove a point to myself that I could do it. With the danger of being around people in the past that have done this to a fault and it hasn't been beneficial to their career, but I felt like it was almost like a rite of passage that I needed to do it and, you know, fall flat on my face if I had to, but I embraced that. And I started realizing that the music that I was hearing in my head was not typical handpan music. It was different. Parallel to this, listening to so much of synth wave and a lot of Haim and a lot of reconnecting with punk influences and lo-fi sounds, I started wanting to do that. And that became what my sound was. And I started writing other songs that was also in that vein. However, as much as there was this inspiration of what the music told me or what guided me to do it, what my soul said and so on, there was definitely this purpose that I still have to try to be disruptive to the scene. Not as in, you know, flipping the bird, so to speak, but basically saying like, hey, I'm here. This is what I do. I love what you guys are doing over here, but this is not me. I'm going to go over here, and it's closer to other stuff, metal, punk, synth wave, and things like that. And it's almost like a gamble, right? And I also don't have anything to lose. So my whole point with this is that in case you're creating and you're debating if to release something that is unique, that is different, that you haven't heard of, or you haven't heard many similar things to it, I'm here to tell you to do it. Dare to do it. Try it. Again, I'm going to repeat it because you might need to hear it again. Do it. Try it. Dare to do it. Nobody's going to do it for you. And it's a beautiful thing. It's exhilarating. It's nervous, you know, nerves inducing and all these other things. But it's very, very exciting. And I can't wait to share the music with you and to basically put myself out there and prove that you can do it. And if I can do it, so can you. Learn about production. Learn about all these other things. Because the reward of releasing something that's yours and ours is magnificent. And I have to say that the biggest part of this has been the ability to work with other people within that selfishness. I've been able to recruit a couple of people. Three people really that have been a massive part of that. Number one, I want to thank Ryan Morse, an old friend of mine whom I recently reconnected from Berkeley, that has produced, mixed, engineered a lot of the songs that you will be hearing. And in this song, he helped me produce it and played some stuff as well, which I'm incredibly thankful for. As a friend, a human being, and a fellow musician, one of my first friends that I ever made in college in 2001. And after many years of not being in touch with each other, we ran into each other, sorry to be redundant, at NAMM, and we connected. Of all the things that we could have connected about, we connected on the Kavanaugh hearing and Dr. Blasey Ford, who was the main inspiration for what the song became and ended up being. and why I named it Hippocampus. But for more of that, you'll have to check out my social media and see the release or hear the release of the song Hippocampus on Friday. A couple other people that I want to give a shout out to: my dear friend Max Bernstein, one of the most badass guitar players on the planet. He did a solo on the song. And somebody also that I respect as one of the most intelligent people I know, and somebody that's very much into politics, and we align very much in our frame of thought. So having Max on the track was a sheer joy and privilege. And last but not least, my dear friend, former student, and one of my favorite musicians on the planet, Mark Roggio, who helped out and did not only a few of the guitars on the track, rhythm guitars, but he was also a source of inspiration, somebody that I bounced ideas off of, and it was incredible. And so as far as the personnel on the song, aside from those three guys, I did everything else. I did all the handpan recording and engineering behind that. I recorded bass. I recorded a ton of guitars and programmed some synths and some drum machines and stuff. So it's a very interesting thing. But again, I'm very nervous. I'm really happy. And, I'm always hesitant to say things like, I hope you like it, or this or that, because it implies the need for validation and so on and so forth. But I really hope that wherever you're doing, when you hear this, it takes you somewhere else. It's something that might, to come full circle, disrupt what you're doing, what you've been listening to, what your life is about at the time, what you're thinking about, and it makes you feel something. That is the goal. Thank you so much for listening. This was the Music Mentor Podcast.